following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on a rainy day on the plains, but man, it is Friday. Can't complain about that. It's also Auburn basketball game day in the NCAA tournament. Yes, we've got so much to talk about on the show today. This is the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goetz with you for the next hour. Yes, that's right, the next hour on the show. We'll talk about that in just a second. And Uncle Tebow with me in the studio as well. Great to see you. Great to be back in the studio, man. How are you? We'll talk about yesterday in just a second as well.
Yeah, I'm doing very well, Jacob. Glad to be back in the studio here at ESPN 106.7 at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. Give us a ring at 334-321-1390. We got 1 hour today.
Yep.
So if you want to get in quickly, talk about all kinds of stuff. It's tournament time, and basically that's dominating the news. Goodness gracious, thank goodness, Jacob, this weather held off and was not like this yesterday at our live remote. If you missed that, it was at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown, and a big time was had by all.
Oh my gosh, man. We had a fantastic time, and we want to say thank you to everybody that came out, everybody that tuned in, everybody that was a part of it, everybody over at the Plaza Bar, good friend of ours, Josh Nagel, who helped us out, and everybody over there that took care of us at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. Man, we met dozens of you, of our listeners and our loyal fans and listeners. We thank you so much. It was so great to meet so many of you. And we hope that when we do this again soon somewhere, that you'll come out and continue to join us. Because, look, we say it all the time. Nobody's working harder than us, and nobody's having more fun than we are. And that's what was happening yesterday. So thank you again to the Plaza Bar and Lounge to kick off the NCAA tournament. Gorgeous day out there, and we were there all day and all night. We had a great time there. So we appreciate everybody coming out and being a part of that. As Uncle T-Bone said, we've been telling you this all week, 1 hour show today. We only have the first hour. Auburn basketball plays at 3:15, and so that way, what we're going to do is we're going to treat this as basically your pregame show. We're going to pregame, and we're going to talk a little about the games that are happening right now, the games that happened last night, because brackets are busted all over the place. And then we'll also talk about the Auburn game, get you ready for tip-off between Auburn and Yale in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Second hour of our show will not be on. We'll go back to regular ESPN programming. Same thing with the first hour of the drive, and then Bill and Dan will go live at 5 o'clock right as the game was about to wrap up, and they'll treat that as a post-game show for the Friday edition of The Drive.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, we'll have this preview for the big game in Spokane. I've talked to several Auburn people who are there.
Including the barbershop, right?
Including the barbershop. And I hate to say this, if the head of the committee shows up in Auburn, Alabama, they're going to get tarred and feathered down there at Toomer's Corner. Apparently, there have been massive issues traveling out there. Multiple flights canceled, and from what I was told, in Atlanta, and connector flights from Denver and in Dallas. People, you know, were supposed to be there yesterday afternoon, getting there late last night, 2-3 in the morning.
Oh.
It's been a nightmare traveling out there. And you know, when you think about, you know, Washington, obviously, you think about flying into Seattle. Take a good look at the map, and Washington's a pretty big state. It's another hour flight from Seattle to Spokane, and you're just like, why are they even having games in cities like that are just so difficult for people to travel to begin with from all over the country? And then to send people out from Birmingham, from Tuscaloosa, from Auburn, to have to do that travel juggernaut, it just really – really is rubbing people the wrong way. I mean, I talked to the barbershop this morning, and they're all good now. They're all heading to the game. They're all there. Wonderful crowd. He said a lot of Auburn people out there, but they were just downright upset.
Yeah, yeah, to keep it clean, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't put it any other way.
Right.
Well, there was some foul language used about the travel accommodations.
And understandably so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous for teams like Auburn fans, for Auburn fans, Alabama fans. God forbid UAB wanted to go, fans wanted to go and watch them play, or Samford, who got hosed last night in the tournament. We'll talk about that in a second, having to go out to Utah or wherever. So,
yep,
yeah,
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, credit to the fans that did show up. I just saw a video before we went live about it was the reverse Tiger walk, where the team was walking out of the hotel heading to the arena, and there was actually a pretty decent amount of Auburn fans there in Spokane. So credit to them, and hopefully it helps Auburn play well today. Phone lines are open for this entire hour, man. We want to hear from you. Your thoughts on the game coming up today, Auburn versus Yale. Your thoughts on the games that happened last night or the ones that have just finished up today. How's your bracket looking? Let us know. 334-321-1390. The games that are already wrapped up today, Uncle T-Bone, before we get to the games that happened yesterday and late last night. Northwestern and FAU, the first overtime game of the NCAA tournament. FAU had many chances, had a chance at the end, and guy bringing the ball up the floor just decided to stop playing for a little bit. Had about 5 seconds on the clock, and he just stopped playing.
You must make your free throws in NCAA tournament games, and especially late in games. The score's 58-56 in that game. FAU's winning probably, what, you know, about 15 seconds left in the game. FAU's at the foul line, misses the front end of the 1-1. Northwestern takes off down the court, gets to the rim, gets a layup. There's about 8-9 seconds left in that ball game. FAU is tied up at 58, and FAU takes the ball down court. And instead of attacking the rim, he just kind of slows down and works the clock and hucks one up from the timeline.
Yeah.
Which didn't even come. And you could hear the announcer on CBS just going crazy. He's like, What is he doing?
Which is, it's a fair question to ask. And then
it looked like Reed Shepard last night for Kentucky. Couldn't hit water. He fell out of a boat.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that one too. And then, of course, FAU gets to overtime and they let Boo Booey go off. And Northwestern gets the win. 77-65. I didn't have that one. I had FAU. Don't you worry. And then we don't have to talk about the other game that went final earlier today if we don't want to. We don't have to talk about that.
Is that your toothpaste team?
Yeah, Colgate? The toothpaste that I chose.
Yeah, that bracket's kind of looking a little weird that you have there, Jacob. How many did you hit yesterday? I know I hit 11 goodness. Out of 16.
Oh gosh, how many did I hit yesterday? I didn't hit a lot, I'll tell you that. And you start looking through. North Carolina handled business, Arizona handled business, Iowa State handled business, and Tennessee handled business. I did have those four, which isn't crazy, but I did have those four. That's, you know, that's 3 2-seeds and a 1-seed.
Well, I can't say a lot. There's two teams that I was big on going into the picket when we did it the other day on Wednesday that have just basically ruined my bracket. One of them being the Nevada Wolfpack, who was up by like 100 and completely melted down against Dayton. I still don't understand what happened that game.
Let me preface this too. Dayton's been our team all year.
Right.
And last night at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, who's the one that turned on the Flyers and started pulling for the Wolfpack of Nevada? That was you. That was you. And Dayton came all the way back, and they got the win, 63-60.
Golly, that was just a complete meltdown, and they took total gas. And then speaking of gas.
Oh, goodness.
And speaking of people who've got a lot of heartburn today up in the Bluegrass State.
What in the world
happened
here? Kentucky
was one of my final four teams, Jacob. And what did I say about them Wednesday? You know, I don't mind looking like a fool. I don't mind it. I'm a radio host. I'm a fan. I'm not a professional. I'm just regular old Joe. And but I don't like it when John Calipari makes me look like a fool. What did I say? The Cats are the kings of the South. It's Big Blue Nation. Calipari's got this. You know, and I really did believe a lot like Tom Izzo, who just – there's another team that took gas yesterday in Mississippi State, that Tom Izzo – you know, Calipari's a lot like Izzo, Mr. March. You know, he's got a national championship. He's got a talented roster. They're going to put it all together. They're going to make a run. they get dominated by a team called Oakland that's not even from California, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. The Oakland from where? Michigan, right? Or somewhere up there?
I guess.
And look, there are serious conversations being had right now. Conversations being had about, is this it for John Calipari at Kentucky?
There's
an argument. There's a big argument there.
You know, other than the buyout, if they didn't have some massive buyout for him, which I think is $33 million currently, they would have fired him last night, and they should have. That was just ridiculous. I mean, and I'll say this. You got a guy who has shot over 300 shots this season, and only like 20 of them have been inside the arc. Maybe you want to just start pushing him back a little bit, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm no basketball coach, and he's no Teflon Don like he likes to dress like. But I think Uncle T would have called a TO midway through that first half and said, who wants to play defense? Because we're going to stick this guy, and we're going to push this guy, and we're going to rough this guy up. And if he goes to the free throw line, fine. But he's not going to sit back there and drain threes like he's Larry Bird Jr. on my watch.
The jokes coming out of that game last night, all the memes about Kentucky getting torched by your future enterprise rental car executive and stuff like that. I mean, just ridiculous. But here we are again, right?
The Billy Hoyle memes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we talked about this yesterday when we were on location. There's always a team like this where they get a guy that comes out of nowhere that nobody's ever heard of, and he comes out and he torches somebody. It just happened to be Oakland, and it just happened to be John Calipari and the Cats.
I did not see that one coming. Hey, when you're wrong, you're wrong, and I was wrong. Thanks, Calipari, and goodbye, because my bracket's done.
They're done. See you later. 3-3-4.
Toaster strudel.
They weren't even 2 at barbecue. They were 0-for. They went 0-1 in the NCAA tournament. Let's get to the phone lines here. 334-321-1390. Mike, you're on the line, man. How are you?
How you doing, guys?
Doing good, man. Doing good. What's up?
Hey, just want to thank y'all for the good time out at the plaza yesterday. First time I ever been there. I didn't even know it was there, but I know where it is now.
You know it's there now, and I'm sure you'll be a returning customer like we are, man. We appreciate you coming out.
Right.
We had a heck of a time.
I'm getting fired up for the game, getting geared up here for getting ready to watch Auburn and put it on them.
Yeah, and how are you feeling about that game?
I feel good about it. Good enough I done called a man, and I'm feeling good about it, laid the points.
Okay.
And but I tell you, there have been a bunch of upsets, but Calipari does his usual stuff. He used to just beat people on raw talent. Well, everybody's got talent now.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. We've talked about this for a while now, I don't want to call them lesser teams, because Oakland's certainly not a lesser team than Kentucky. They proved that last night. But these smaller market-type teams in college basketball especially, and even in football, you're seeing teams that historically weren't quite as competitive as they normally are. They're coming up, and there's parity, and it's because of the transfer portal specifically. And you get a couple of guys in basketball who, I don't know, may have been academically ineligible when they first came out or had some problems, and they go somewhere like Oakland, and they get it together with a coach who they just love to play for. That guy was awesome. And you see the results.
See, I mean, he was draining those. What did he play, like Division III for like 4 years?
Yeah,
That's right.
A guy that just literally came out of nowhere that nobody wanted anything to do with, and he got his one shining moment, and man, he took advantage of it.
Well, he shined like a new dime, and but everything is looking good. But you know, I think UAB's holding in there, and I just hope the state does well today. Sanford, they kind of got a little bit of a rough edge last night. But,
yeah,
you know,
they did.
It is what it is, you know. It come down to the last play. You know, they were lucky to be that. I really thought they were lucky to be that close to them. So,
Well, there's a lot of people around here are going to have no mercy on Samford for their athletic director, Martin Newton, son of former Alabama coach C.M. Newton from 1968 to 80 in basketball, who was part of this selection committee that sent Auburn all the way across the country to Spokane and really gave them the shaft on their seeding line at number four. So, you know, boo-hoo, Samford. Good luck.
Well, like I was going to tell everybody, if you ever traveling to the Northwest, And it's like it is now with travel, you got to get to Salt Lake City. They will get you there.
Right.
That they got the best bar in an airport in the United States. Them Mormon know how to drink. And they will get you. Now, you may have to stand up there and aggravate them, but they will get you to where you're going.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Mike, we appreciate it.
Y'all have a great weekend.
You too, man.
It was nice seeing y'all. It was nice meeting y'all.
That's right. That's right. Very nice to meet you as well, man. We appreciate you coming out yesterday. Everybody coming out, and we appreciate you calling in. 334-321-1390. I want to talk some more about the games that happened yesterday and this conversation of, is Calipari done? Should he be done at Kentucky? We'll have all that when we come back. Then we're diving deep into the Auburn and Yale matchup. Tigers taking on Yale this afternoon in the NCAA tournament. That's all coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get back to the phone lines here on the Friday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, guys. How's it going?
It's going well, man. What can we do? What's on your mind?
And let me ask you guys a question. If you're Kentucky, do you go to wherever Billy Donovan is and you just say, what does it take? You give him a Saban-like deal, like Alabama, like Mal Moore did at Alabama.
I think Kentucky has a prime opportunity to go find the next John Calipari or even better. I mean, there's so many young guys out there right now that could go and do a better job than he's doing in postseason play. I think it's time. I do. I think it's time. And I saw an article today, and it was really, really good. And it basically was saying, does Kentucky truly care about its brand of basketball, or are they just going to continue to be quiet and let John Calipari drown them? And it's really true, man. They've let him do this long enough. Big name players, NBA guys, only takes you so far. He can't win in the postseason anymore.
I can't understand the guys. He always talks about putting players in the NBA. Those players in the NBA would have been found in the NBA. I don't care where they were playing. So I don't see that side of the argument there. Those guys are good enough, no matter where they played at, they would have been in the NBA. Carl Anthony Towns would have been in the NBA regardless.
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of those guys. I mean, Anthony Davis was going to be in the pros regardless. But there's some players that I think he did develop and I think got better at Kentucky and, of course, got the exposure at Kentucky, right? I mean, if some of those guys had played at another school, it wouldn't have been as good. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of them are some of the best players in the country. So I get what you're saying.
I tell you, and more proof, Jacob T-Bone, these one-and-dones, they've got to do something about that. That's killing him. Because he gets five McDonald's All-Americans every year, and every year he's terrible in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find a way to get some guys, to keep some guys around, establish some kind of togetherness and continuity and things like that.
Well,
that's
got
to happen.
You know, there's plenty of ways for Kentucky to do that, and it's, you know, for him to adjust his recruiting model and how he builds his roster. I mean, you can build a roster in basketball with all sorts of transfers. You could, you know, I would think that Kentucky would almost have the pick of the litter from any big names at any smaller schools, especially that put their names into the transfer portal. So it, you know, of experienced players, it's obvious that, you know, he's just kind of made his bones with this one and done type philosophy. I only recruit the very best out of high school, and you know, no one needs to have to adjust any rules for him. I mean, he can adjust.
Yeah, because if that player that shot all those threes last night for Oakland and was hitting them, if Oakland can get him, Kentucky could get a guy just like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Speaking of someone who was shooting threes and not hitting anything, I mean, was Reed Shepard, did he have the flu or something last night? He looked terrible.
It's like he was shooting a basketball at a thimble.
Yeah, it pretty much.
Look, UK makes a couple of wild taking threes late in that game. If they don't make those And those weren't high percentage threes where someone was wide open with set, you know, their feet set.
It would have been worse.
It would have been a beatdown. So,
well, the guy said today, said, do you think they'd come after Nate Oates? And I said, well, he's kind of the same as Calipari. Scored a bunch of points, run a fast offense, turn the ball over 15 times a game.
Yeah, they do have a very similar coaching style right now.
I'll say this about Nate Oates. Who's won SEC championships lately and who hasn't?
Well, good point.
It's been, yeah.
But, again, Kentucky's got Final Fours and national titles hanging on the wall. Nate Oates ain't even got none of that.
Yeah, that's fair, too. But Calipari's just got the one, and it was 12 years ago.
One's more than Alabama's got.
Yeah.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. That's a conversation that's going to continue, is what is the future of John Calipari? Because that's all right. I mean, that's been a conversation for the last 3 or 4 years because of what's happening. You get beat as a 2 seed or you get beat as a 3 seed and can't make it out of the first weekend. And look, that's not okay with Kentucky fans. They're some of the craziest basketball fans in the country for a reason. They have high expectations. It's the mentality of championship or bust, and that's what Kentucky has. And that's what they've had for so long, and that's what they demand, and rightfully so. So we'll keep talking about that as the weeks go on. Other games last night, as we are going to get into some games going on right now, and then we're deep diving into Auburn and Yale. Creighton got it done. My Blue Jays rocking and rolling. Illinois, a scare. They were only up by one on Morehead State at the half, but they ended up pulling away 85-69. We talked about a little bit. We mentioned it. Kansas beat Samford. But Samford got the short end of the stick on this one. Samford, and in a game that they were in the entire way, they were down by 10 at the half and then came back and made it a really good basketball game. They made one of the best blocks I've ever seen. The LeBron James-esque type of block. A game-saving block, Uncle T-Bone, where Kansas was up by a point. They were about to dunk it, think this thing over, and make it almost out of reach. Samford hustles back one-on-one, gets the chase down from behind block, but since the guy fell to the floor, they called a foul. It was going to be Samford basketball in the half court with about 14 seconds and a chance to win the basketball game, and they got called for a foul, and Kansas was able to ice it.
A lot of discussion about that call today, what the NCAA is going to have to do, if anything, to improve refereeing in college basketball. Whether or not there's going to be a review process or some type of suggestion and go in that direction where a coach can have a challenge or two, like in football, throw a red flag out there, I guess, on the court and stop play and have something reviewed. It was a bad call. I mean, it was a terrible call. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that bothers fans like me who, you know, Auburn's a fantastic place and university and athletic department, but no one would ever say that Auburn's, you know, a true blue blood in any sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kansas is definitely a blue blood in basketball. Heck, the game was invented in Kansas. But that's what happens in these type situations. Teams like that are so-called blue bloods, they get the benefit of the doubt more times than not, and it's a real shame because it shouldn't have been that way. And, you know, Samford had a heck of a season. That's a coach that could possibly be going to a bigger program eventually and taking his buckyball with him. But, you know, what do you do about that, Jacob? I mean, it's just a bad call. It's a bad call.
It's a bad call. I mean, that's just what it is. It's a bad, bad call. And at this point, you know, there's nothing you can do because they just go away. And here we are again. Officials will go home. They went home last night. Didn't bother them.
Yeah,
didn't bother them
one bit. They're going to be outrage, and it'll last on, kind of like how the seeding did earlier in the week, and there was outrage about that, not just with Auburn but other schools. But you know what? Really and truly, nothing changes, and everybody just keeps on chugging along. And,
that's right.
And if Kansas wins again, I can promise you this, no one will be talking about that.
Nope,
they'll
just
move on by this drive-by media.
Yep.
In sports, and it'll just be some other story. Oh, that was terrible. The outrage. They got the shaft. Wah. Okay, well, what's the next story?
That's it.
And nothing happens. It's a real shame.
Gonzaga beat McNeese last night in a game that I don't think anybody had that, but yeah, they blew out McNeese last night.
Uncle T-Bone had some zags.
Yeah, whatever, whatever.
That's right. But the one that really got me was BYU going down to Duquesne.
Oh,
goodness gracious.
We watched that out there at the Plaza yesterday. How about Oregon slamming South Carolina?
Yeah, I had that
dropped
one.
87 on them.
This Carolina team, I mean, they're a solid bunch, but they're just not very deep, and they've been very sporadic late in the season. A lot like Kentucky. I mean, you see them play one game, and you're like, man, these guys can play, and they're dangerous. And then they go three or four games in a row just kind of looking meh.
We got two good games in the second half right now. San Diego State and UAB tied at 49 apiece, 10.5 to play. And don't call me right, Western Kentucky only down by two to Marquette with 15 minutes to play.
They were up big in that game earlier as well, but Marquette kind of woke up and starting to take control of the game.
That's right.
15 minutes left in that ball game in the second half.
We'll talk about Auburn and Yale when we come back here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one, the only hour of today's show here on the Line. If you missed our announcement, we've been telling you all week, and we wanted to remind you as well that we are just doing the first hour of today's show with Auburn basketball playing at 3:15. That way you can enjoy that, watch that, and then come right back here as Bill and Dan will have the second hour of their show. So 1 hour of our show, 1 hour of The Drive today here on ESPN 106.7. As we were mentioning, going to break, UAB has come back. They're up by one on San Diego State, 52-51. With about 8 minutes to play there. Of course, that game means a lot to us because the winner of that moves on to play either the winner of Auburn and Yale. So that's exciting. We'll see how that plays out as well. And then the game we've got on here in the studio, Western Kentucky hanging around with Marquette. Marquette's up by five with 13 minutes to play.
Yeah, it looked like earlier in this game that Marquette was definitely going to be on upset alert, and we're Western Kentucky was just out playing them. I think Marquette's, kind of woke up a little bit. They woke the sleeping bear. They're playing much better in this second half. But the game that they're showing, they're scrolling above on TNT right now, number 12 UAB, 12-seed UAB against 5-seed San Diego State. The Blazers were down by 10 in this game, and they've come storming back too. They're up 54-53. That game's getting pretty late, Jacob. Getting towards 7 minutes, that's going to be a very interesting game. That's going to go down to the wire.
Yeah.
And oh, boy, Jacob, over on True TV.
Don't talk about it.
First half, 10 minutes left to go. Clemson, 27. New Mex, 11. Told you got to go with the boss man's alma mater.
My brackets are so destroyed. It's unbelievable, man. After yesterday and a crappy start today, it's just been brutal for me in all of my brackets. I filled out like four or five of them, and they're all terrible. They're all terrible right now.
That's like the one event where you can fill out like 15 brackets and they all be losers.
Yeah, literally all of them.
You know, it's just so hard to do right. And, the committee said that they had a lot of trouble this year with the matchups. I think it's caused a lot of trouble with people trying to pick the winners.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Think about this too, man. This isn't even against the spread.
This is just straight up.
Just straight up.
Yeah. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? Imagine if you did have to pick the spread on all these games. That would add a little spice to it, to something that doesn't really need a whole lot of spice added to it. But you could do that if you want to. Speaking of the spread,
yep.
Auburn favored by 13.5 today against Yale. Auburn's the 4-seed, Yale's the 13-seed. Tigers, 13.5-point favorites in Spokane. Total is 140.5. Is that too much for a team to be favored in an NCAA tournament game, especially given what we've seen already?
Boy, if it was anybody other than Auburn, I'd be like, that's way too many points. I watched a little bit of Cornell play Ohio State, believe it or not, in the NIT earlier in the week. That's another
why?
I guess I didn't have anything else to do. And, that just kind of scrolling through it caught my eye because that's a Ivy League school, and I'm going to imagine they probably play a lot like Yale. And they could shoot the ball. They were fundamentally sound. They ran a nice little offense with multiple backdoor cuts. I do know that Auburn played Yale a couple years ago, so Bruce Pearl's well acclimated and with that system. Man, this line came out at 11.5. It's jumped to 13.5.
Mm.
John Q. Public likes them Tigers because just about every time except once this season when Auburn wins, they win by double digits.
Yeah, and that's been the safe bet for this Auburn team pretty much all season long. Yale can shoot now. They can shoot. They shoot 47% from the floor as a team. They shoot 71% from the free throw line, and they shoot 35% from behind the arc. So they've got some talents, and they're going to be fundamental, like you mentioned. They're also going to slow down the game. They're not going to run up and down the floor. They're going to take 20 seconds of possession and try to play as low a scoring game as possible. That's just what this team does. It's what a lot of teams from that area will do. I mean, look at the last few games and their point totals. I mean, they've scored a little bit, but look, 69, 57, 62, 61 in their last two games. Like, that's just what this team does. They can score. They've got games in the 80s this year. They've got games in the 90s this year. But they don't want to score 100. They're okay in the 70s. And look, Auburn can do that if they have to, but Auburn likes to turn it up a little bit sometimes.
I think it's incumbent of Auburn to not allow Yale to do that. You just can't sit back and let them run clock and then run their set plays. And Auburn's an extremely aggressive defensive team. I would get into that full court press pretty early and put some serious pressure on Yale and just get them out of rhythm. Don't let someone come up the court unmolested and just dribble to a spot and then call a play.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to work today because they're going to set you up with some crafty, you know, schemed up plays, and they're going to knock back some shots. So get KD in there early, harassing these Yale players. Get Trey Donaldson in there playing hardcore defense, Denver Jones playing hardcore defense on those guards, and really make it a point to where you try and create some turnovers, and then you just run. And if they don't want to run, fine, but we're going to run you out of the gym.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think Auburn has to dictate this game. They've got to play the way they want to play, which is lockdown defense, efficient offense, and we're either going to dunk it on your head, throw it into Janai, or we're going to kick it out and shoot a three. And if Auburn does those things, they should be fine. They should be fine. But this is the NCAA tournament where anything can happen. Anything is possible. You've seen that through the first day and a half of this crazy, crazy tournament. And look, for me, I feel pretty good about this game. I do. I think Auburn's ready. I think Bruce Pearl, and I've seen this all over Twitter, Double D, Daryl Dapperich, was talking about this again last night and this morning on his Twitter account. But watching teams like Kentucky go down, watching a team like Marquette struggle to take down Western Kentucky and some of these other teams being threatened and almost beat, like, he has to be using that as motivation. It's like, look, guys, you're not unstoppable. You're not unbeatable. We haven't lost in a while, but this is the NCAA tournament. This isn't Nashville. This isn't Neville Arena. This is Spokane freaking Washington. You've got to come in here and play your best game because that team has every right and every skill to beat you if you don't come out and play good 40 minutes of basketball.
Yeah, you know, the coaches are going to use this, whether or not the players take it on their backs and take that advice. I mean, I'm sure they're up in their grill. They're probably tired of hearing about how Yale's about to beat them. You know, we'll show you, coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're the SEC champions and one of the best conferences in America in basketball. This is an Ivy League team. You don't want to get overconfident and cocky because that's when you get beat down out of the blue. But, you know, it's up to – you're telling me that someone at Yale can match up with Dylan Cardwell and his athleticism and rebounding, and you're telling me that someone at Yale is going to match up with our guards if we're putting a tremendous amount of pressure on them up and down the court. And Auburn's got the bodies to put pressure on them, Jacob. So I look for Auburn to try and dictate the pace in this game because if Yale does – then it could be a long day for the Tigers.
Who has to play well today, in your mind? If there's one player that has to have a good game today in particular for Auburn to move on to the next round, I'll give you my pick. I think it has to be Janai Broome. I think Janai Broome's got to continue to play his game where He could go off for 20 points and 10 rebounds today, maybe even get a three or two in there. I think he has to be a post presence offensively and defensively. Jahni Broome's got to have a big day, dominate, and show why he is an All-American, show why he's getting draft consideration, and is more than likely going to try it out in the NBA. He's got to show Yale that they've never seen anything like Jahni Broome.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that it's been proven in the latter part of the season that when Auburn works its offense from the inside out instead of just coming down and firing down threes, but really getting towards the rim, getting it to Broome, allowing him to eat down low, allowing him to trade paint down low, that, and then they can, it opens up everything on the outside and Auburn gets some clearer shots. So yeah, I mean, he's your number one jammer, right? It's the first game of the NCAA tournament. Go out there and get about 23 and 12. You know, I'm more interested, though, in what guard play is going to look like, especially defensively. I just really think that if they get Denver Jones out there on somebody in some key matchups and Katie Johnson coming off the bench, and is Auburn going to put pressure on Yale? And if they do, they're going to create a bevy of turnovers because Yale's not played a team like Auburn. Heck, not many teams outside of the SEC conference run our schedules played a team like Auburn. So, I mean, they just got the bodies. I'm not looking for anybody like Chaney Johnson or you know, I would like to see Jalen Williams kind of come out and dominate.
Yeah, we've seen how many times that dictates how good Auburn plays is when he comes out early and starts hitting some shots.
There should be some serious mismatches for him in this game because of just all the other size and athleticism that Auburn has.
Mm-hmm.
They have more talent. They have more bodies. How is and who is from Yale going to step up and shut down all these other people, including Jalen Williams?
Yeah, and to go back on the guard thing, look, Auburn has a real opportunity to let their guards eat in the NCAA tournament. I mean, Denver Jones is playing the best basketball he's ever played right now, I think. And he is an X factor for this team, but is this the scene that Aiden Holloway needs to have his coming out party, right? Is this the time where he decides he's going to start knocking down threes left and right and since just pushes Auburn over the top? Because we've talked about it. I think if that happens, if Aiden Holloway becomes a knockdown three-point shooter where you can't stop him, that makes Auburn borderline unbeatable because that's just another threat from the outside on top of Denver Jones and Chaney Johnson and Chad Baker-Mazar and Jalen Williams and, heck, even Jahni Broome sometimes.
Yeah, I think he's created better opportunities for himself shooting the ball in transition later in the season, and that's why I also think it's extremely important for Auburn to just get out there and get very athletic and up and down the court against Yale. Do not allow their defense to set up because Holloway, when he's in transition, is very, very creative. Real quick, a couple updates. Jacob, UConn rolling over Stetson 21-4. San Diego State's taking the lead back against UAB. 4 minutes in the second half left in that game, 61-58. Clemson rickrolling New Mexico, but I'm not going to get cocky because this is what happened in Nevada yesterday. That's still in the first half, 32-17. And last but not least, Marquette kind of trying to take control of this game.
They're
just
trying.
Just knocked back a three, up 66-59 over the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
We need the Hilltoppers to make a little run here. And, they're down by, what, 7 with 8 minutes to play. So a couple of the shots can get them right back in it. And, look, I'm one of the few people that I have Western Kentucky in my bracket taking down Marquette. Now, my bracket and my credibility has fallen through the floor because of my incorrect picks pretty much all day yesterday. But I had Western Kentucky, so maybe they'll pull it off. Maybe they can get this win over Marquette. And again, with that UAB San Diego State game, that's important because if Auburn does win today, coming up at 3:15, then that's who Auburn plays. Auburn plays the winner. The winner of Auburn-Yale, I should say, plays the winner of UAB-San Diego State. So two games that are happening right now. I got the UAB-San Diego State game on, and I'm looking in the crowd there. There's a bunch of orange and blue already. I mean, a bunch of people there watching the game before that are there ready to watch Auburn play this afternoon against Yale. And a reminder, that game, if you're here locally in Auburn, Opelika, you can find that over on Wings 94.3 and only on Wings 94.3. It is not streaming. If you want to listen to Andy Burcham and the guys, you have to listen on traditional radio. You cannot stream it on the website. You cannot stream it on the app. It will not be on the Auburn Tigers app either. There's a there's a rights restriction with Westwood and NCAA and all that mess. It's stupid. It's ridiculous, but we have to. It is what it is. So you can only find the radio broadcast on the radio. Otherwise, you can tune in on the television if you want to do it that way. But just wanted to let you know that is underway over on Wings 94.3. You can find that on your traditional radio dial. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Hour number one will conclude the only hour of today's show. We'll wrap it up when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Yes, it's an hour early. We are cutting off the show a little bit early because of the Auburn basketball game. They tip off at 3:15-ish out there in Spokane. Of course, there's a game going on before them. So that game, San Diego State and UAB, still happening. And San Diego State just took a one-point lead, 63-62. They're at the free throw line. So if that game goes to overtime, Auburn's game time would be pushed back a little bit as well. But we are cutting our show short an hour since you'll be watching the game. We're also cutting off the first hour of the drive today as the game will still be on. This has been more of a pregame show. There'll be more of a postgame show. That's what we're doing today here on ESPN 106.7. Uncle T-Bone, final thoughts on Auburn and Yale and the game that's going to be taking place here in the next 30 minutes or so. Auburn trying to avoid what Kentucky did, what Marquette's trying to avoid right now, and a lot of these other big-name teams falling on day one, or the game one, I should say, of the NCAA tournament. Your thoughts, finally, as we wrap it up.
You know, this team's built differently than the 2019 team that made a run to the Final Four. I don't think, obviously, they don't quite shoot the three ball as well as that team did late in the season. You're going into a place that most of these kids have never even traveled to the state of Washington. I've never been to Spokane, Washington. So
I've actually been to Washington one time. Fun fact, my mom and stepdad got married there when I was four. They got married on a cliff somewhere.
Cool story, man. And so it's going to be there's going to be an adjustment, right? The best way for Auburn to avoid, in my opinion, any kind of upset alert is just don't let Yale get you down and hang around and get that momentum. That's what happens to all of these teams. And hope is a powerful thing, Jacob.
Yeah.
And you saw a hopeful Oakland team ride to victory last night. Every shot that went down, they got more and more confident. More and more confident. So get them down early. Keep them down. Attack the rim. Go inside early. Get physical.
Okay, yeah.
Do not come out hucking up three-pointers unless it's in transition and you've got some good looks, okay? I think that if you're Yale, you're wanting Auburn from firing out from beyond the arc as much as possible. You don't want Jani Broome banging those boards on you. You know, you don't want Chaney Johnson dunking on you and Cardwell dunking on you. So they're probably going to pack the paint, dare Auburn to shoot. Auburn still got to stay disciplined enough to work it inside and do what they do best and play physical basketball. I think the Tigers will start out a little slow. I don't think that it's anything that Yale's going to do to them to make them be slow. It's just a tournament game in a weird place that you've never played before.
Yeah.
But like the rest of the season, I think Auburn will start getting it together midway through the first half, and then with about 2 or 3 minutes left in the first half, make a pretty good run and build a buffer up and take care of business in the second half. I don't think Auburn covers this game, wins by 10. I'm looking for something 76-66.
Look, I'll take a win. I don't care if it's by a point. I don't care if it's by half a point, if that's even a thing, right? I think a win is a win. At this point in the NCAA tournament, you're not trying to show off for a committee. You're not trying to get style points. You're not trying to impress the people in the cigar bar and the closed doors, right? You're just trying to win basketball games. That's all you're here to do at this point. You've got six games to win a national championship. And if this team isn't motivated today, If they're not ready today, if they don't play their best basketball today, they will lose. Yale will beat them. They will be one and done. They'll be out. And we'll be sitting in this studio come Monday afternoon, and we're going to be saying what a wasted year this was. What a wasted team that this was if they go and lose either today. And I'll say this too. If they lose this weekend, if they happen to win today and play on Sunday, it would still be a waste if they don't make it out of the first weekend, because this team's too talented and too good. And we've been demanding them to get respect this entire week. And Selection Sunday, now they've got a chance to prove it against teams that they are just flat out better than.
Yeah, you know, Auburn as a program, a while back, it was always, well, if we could just get to the tournament, it's been a successful season. It's taken a step above that, and I'm with you. I'm not necessarily saying they've got to become a Sweet 16 team, but with this matchup against Yale and playing either San Diego State or UAB next, they're better than those teams. And it's going to be awfully disappointing if they aren't in the Sweet 16 when we get here back on Monday in studio at 2 o'clock and we're talking about and breaking down the next matchups, which would be most likely against UConn.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Auburn, it would be a disappointment, and I think most fans would feel that way.
You know, and I think sometimes fans were a little too hard on our teams the last couple of years when Auburn got bounced in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Those were two very good basketball teams. Miami was excellent. Houston was really good last year. But I don't see a team like that out of these other three that Auburn's playing.
I think Auburn wins today, and I think Auburn wins on Sunday. San Diego State and UAB, they're battling it out with a minute to go. San Diego State up by three. Tune in on that. And Auburn plays the winner of that if they beat Yale today. We'll be back on Monday to talk all about it, talk about your bracket and Auburn as well. Here 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Cutting it short, back to ESPN programming. Bill and Dan will be live at 5 to recap the Auburn and Yale NCAA tournament basketball game. Have a great weekend, everybody. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob. Go and stay safe. I'll talk to you later.